Let us now turn for our reading in Holy Scripture. We turn to the book of 2 Kings and the chapter 11. Book of 2 Kings and the chapter 11. This is the word of Almighty God. Come, let us hear the infallible, inerrant, and sacred word of the living God. The Lord, truly help us. Give ears to hear and hearts to receive his word. Let us hear together God's holy, infallible, inerrant, and sacred word. When Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain. And they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. And he was with her, hid in the house of the Lord 6 years, and Athaliah did reign over the land. And the 7th year, Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds with the captains and guard and brought them to him into the house of the Lord and made covenant with them and took an oath of them in the house of the Lord and showed them the king's son. And he commanded them, saying, "This is the thing that ye shall do. A third part of you that enter in on the Sabbath, even the keepers of the Sabbath, shall even be keepers of the watch of the king's house. And a third part shall be at the gate of Shur, and a third part at the gate behind the guard. So shall ye keep the watch of the house, that it be not broken down. And 2 parts of all that you go forth on the Sabbath, even they shall keep the watch of the house of the Lord about the king. And ye shall compass the king round about, every man with his weapons in his hand. And he that cometh within the ranges, let him be slain. And ye that be with the king, as he goeth out and as he cometh in." And the captains over the hundreds did according to all that Jehoiada the priest commanded. And they took every man his men that were to come on the Sabbath with them that should go out on the Sabbath, and came to Jehoiada the priest. And to the captains over hundreds did the priest give King David's spears and shields that were in the temple of the Lord. And the guard stood every man with his weapons in his hand round about the king, from the right corner of the temple to the left corner of the temple, along by the altar and the temple. And he brought forth the king's son and put the crown upon him and gave him the testimony. And they made him king and anointed him. And they clapped their hands and said, "God save the king." And when Athaliah heard the noise of the guard and of the people, she came to the people into the temple of the Lord. And when she looked, behold, the king stood by a pillar, as the manner was, and the princes and the trumpeters by the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and blew with trumpets. And Athaliah rent her clothes and cried, "Treason, treason." But Jehoiada the priest commanded the captains of the hundreds and the officers of the host, and said unto them, "Have her forth without the ranges, and him that followeth her kill with the sword." For the priest had said, "Let her not be slain in the house of the Lord." And they laid hands on her, and she went by the way by which the horses came into the king's house, and there was she slain. And Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord and the king and the people, that they should be the Lord's people between the king also and the people. And all the people of the land went into the house of Baal and break it down, his altars and his images break they in pieces, truly, and slew Matan the priest of Baal before the altars. And the priest appointed officers over the house of the Lord. And he took the rulers over hundreds, and the captains, and the guard, and all the people of the land. And they brought down the king from the house of the Lord, and came by the way of the gate of the guard to the king's house. And he sat on the throne of the kings. And all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was in quiet. And they slew Athaliah with the sword beside the king's house. 7 years old was Jehoash when he began to reign. Amen. This is God's infallible, inerrant, and sacred word. The Lord help us as we come tonight to his word. The Lord teach it to us, speak to our souls individually, and bless us by his word. Let us come, let us pray, and seek our God this night in prayer. Well, dear congregation, I invite you please to turn your prayerful attention once again to that portion of God's holy word that I read to you earlier in 2 Kings and the chapter 11. This passage of Scripture is quite a remarkable passage of Scripture. I know that it's been a few years ago now, some 3 or so years ago, that we looked at some verses in this chapter, but I want to come to it new and fresh here tonight and pray that God will bring us a gospel message from this passage. Well, it is found at a very bleak and dark time in the nation of Israel. But against that dark backdrop, we can see the light of the gospel shining through this dark time. And we can see, indeed, the goodness of God toward poor, unworthy sinners. As we survey this passage, I suppose we cannot really plummet the depths and the heights of God's love to unworthy sinners. As we look at what God does here to an unworthy people, and such unworthies as you and I, if we are Christians, and those yet to be saved, that he would eventually send the Savior into this world who treated the people of God so wickedly and so kindly, unkindly, this God who is patient, but this God who has a plan to save lost sinners out of this dark world. As we look at this dark backdrop, we see some of the glorious stars of God's goodness as they shine amidst the darkness of the depravity of the times in which these things are recorded here. This is God's word. And the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 15, the verse 4, for whatsoever things are written aforetime are written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope is in him. Christ says, Christ in you, to the Christian, is the hope of glory. And that very person was to come into this world. But we meet here with a wicked, wicked woman who is seeking to blot out all the royal seed, the seed of David, so that the great Savior would not come into the world. We do believe that Satan was behind all of this, my friends, in a wicked world. And it is a wicked world in which we live in. But we're reminded by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2 that this world walks after the wicked one. And we were once by nature children of wrath, and we walked in the same way as them. And there is a great conflict in this world, is there not? There is the seed of the woman, and there is the seed of Satan. There are those that belong to the children of the devil. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said there in John chapter 8. to many, he said, "You're of your father the devil." But then there are the children of God, and they will hear the word of God. Now, as we look at this passage, we meet here. Let me just read verses 1 to the verse 4 again. 2 Kings 11. "And when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead," that's Ahaziah, King Ahaziah, "she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain. And they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain." This woman, in her determination to have no rivalries, so determined to be queen, and that there would be none after her. Well, what a folly, what a foolish and what a wicked thing. Now, there was this woman here, we notice here, that hid this young boy in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. Verse 3, "And he was with her, hid in the house of the Lord 6 years. And Athaliah did reign over the land." Her mother, we know, was Jezebel. Her father, wicked King Ahab. She was wicked likewise. And we note here in the 7th year, Jehoiada, that's the priest, sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds with the captains and the guard and brought them to him into the house of the Lord and made a covenant with them and took an oath of them in the house of the Lord and showed them the king's son. Isn't that wonderful? As we read these verses here, we meet first of all with a very, very brave man, Jehoiada. This godly man. And he brings the men in the courtyard, captains and guards, notice there, into the house of the Lord and made a covenant with them. They agreed to watch over, to guard this little boy. What was he doing, this man of faith, believing that God would send his only begotten son into this world in the fullness of time? Was this man here put here by the grace of God preserving the seed royal? Friend, know Jehoiada, know Lord Jesus Christ to come into the world, because he'd have to be born into that family. He'd have to come from the tribe of Judah, David's greatest son. And so looking at these verses and considering the background here, let me say, friends, the records and the annals of time and history, as you read this passage with me, does this passage not surely assure you that man is wicked? Are we not given ample proof here once again of what really drives the human heart? The want for pride and more pride and popularity and power. So it was for this woman. So determined. Just like, remember how her mother, Jezebel and Ahab, persecuting the prophet Elijah, and then Elisha. And what we see in this passage here is that sometimes wonderful things do happen. Think about what happened last week. Wasn't it wonderful when the Supreme Court justices met and decided that abortion is terrible? It's a wicked thing, isn't it? To kill those made in the image of God, those not even born and brought into this world yet, the sanctity of life. And here we see even this woman, so wicked, evil. She kills her own family determined because of a want for greed and power. But you know, the Bible tells us again and again, be sure your sin will find you out. Will it not? Sin will find you out. And my sinner friend, this woman did not want to bow to a king. But there's a greater king than this little boy. The one who would come from his line, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And that is the problem with this whole world. You know that Psalm 2. We're told that the Father made an oath with his Son. This is the decree. This is the oath, says the Father and the Son. This is the oath, thou art my Son forever. And God had said there in the Psalm 2 that he would give the heathen for a people to his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is all before the foundation of the world. Psalm 2, verse 1, why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing, and the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder. That's the people of God who are under the counsel and the rule of God's commandments, and they love God's commandments, and they love his ways. This is the world saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. We'll not be bound. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Now the Father says this, yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion and will declare the decree. The Lord saith unto me, thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. God the Father promised the Son to have a people in this world even before the world began. You know, the apostle tells us in 2 Timothy that grace was given God's people even before the world began. God the Father promised to his dear Son to give them a people. But to be their king, he would have to come into this world and he'd have to live for them and then he'd have to die for them. Now there is an amazing thing when we come to this passage. As we see the wickedness of this woman and her sheer determination to blot out any rivalry. And there really we could say, as we look at this woman, this wicked queen, Athaliah, we could say this is the heart of all men, isn't it? I will not have any to rule over me. We will not have this man to rule over us. That is man saying that about God. That is man saying that about Jesus Christ. I will not have one to rule over me. I am the sovereign ruler of my life. I call the shots. I will live how I want in this world. I'll not give any honor to God, neither to his Son, Jesus Christ, who is God. And you know, men like this woman, Athaliah here, they live to themselves. But let me say this, the mortality rate in this world, what is it? It's exactly 100%. Everybody's going to die. What is the mortality rate? What was the mortality rate in the Second World War? 100%. Everybody died in the Second World War. Everybody died in the First World War. The scriptures say, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. You see, but people live in this world as if they're never going to die, and as if they're never going to answer to a holy God. That's how people live. As if there's no reckoning. And this woman lived and behaved as if there was no reckoning before God. I can do as I like, and nothing is going to stop me. So determined was she to blot out all the seed royal that even the Lord Jesus Christ couldn't come into the world. But friends, God has a plan. And that is because he is the sovereign ruler of the skies. Ever gracious, ever wise. And so we meet this passage here. It is filled with glorious truths. And friends, everything is seen before God. The scriptures say, all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. This Queen Athaliah here, Queen of Judah, it's incredible when we look at her. She was as wicked as her mother Jezebel and her father King Ahab. Ungodly people. And these, you know, the family just before encouraged Baal worship and Ashtaroth worship. What was all that about? Baal worship was, of course, he's a false god. If you honor Baal, he'll give you produce. He'll give you plentiful supply. He'll provide for your needs. If you worship Ashtaroth, she'll give you fertility, give you pleasure, give you all these things. That's what they wanted. These were the heathen gods. And friends, that's the gods of this world that we live in, isn't it? Pleasure, wealth, power. That's how people think. Well, this woman, Athaliah, her son Ahaziah here, we read, died. She becomes queen. She reigns 6 years. And in order to fulfill her evil desire, she has all the heirs, as we've said, to the throne royal killed. The royal seed. And as I said, there's no doubt that her actions were spawned by Satan himself, the wicked one, who works in the hearts of men even today. Remember what the Lord said in Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. And we see that being worked out here, don't we? There is evil in the world, and there is evil today. But there's a great shock after 6 years because of a godly man here. And somebody else, there was a godly young woman that lived and that was in the house. Notice her name is Jehosheba. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, remember Ahaziah's just died now, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons which were slain. You couldn't imagine the cries, the weeping, all the trouble that this woman had caused. Now, by the way, this woman's name here, Jehosheba, you've heard of the name, God's name is Jehovah. And so if you look at the word here, Jehosheba, that name of hers, this godly woman that hides this little boy, her name means Yahweh is an oath. God is a promise. Or God is promise. God is, in fact, we could say, true to his word. It's a sort of a Hebraism. God is true to his word. Isn't God faithful? Didn't God say that he would put one on David's throne forever and forever? My unsaved friend, let me say this. Just on sheer account of the scriptures, believe. Because what God says he will do, he will do. Galatians 4:4 says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son. When the fullness of time was come, there was a time that God had determined to send Jesus Christ into this world. Friends, when we read the scriptures, it should be so clear to us that God does not lie, that God is the God of truth, that God, Yahweh, is an oath. Jehovah is true to his word. God gave us his son for crimes that we had done. Not one promise will he revoke of a single word he has spoken. He won't. He's true to his word. So in the midst of this slaughter, a little baby who was powerless to do anything to save himself is spared. But you know, somebody risked his life in order to save him. And first of all, it was this woman, wasn't it? Thank the Lord for God-fearing people. My unsaved friend, I want to address you. You have seen faithful people round about, and they are fearless. That should be testimony to you every day that there is a God in heaven. God began to do that in my life as a young man. I often speak about this. When I was a young man, I went to a boarding school. And there were many phony Christians. But there was one young man that was undoubtedly a Christian. He didn't say much. It's just the way that man lived. And the things that he did and he didn't do. And I will never, never, never forget him. The scriptures say the righteous are in everlasting remembrance. And this woman, we have a lot to be thankful for. Of course, God raised her. And she looked after this little boy for these 6 years, but in hope. And you see, it is hope, hope in God, that gives courage. And my unsaved friend, you may ask the question, what is it that makes Christians so bold? It's their hope in God. That's what the psalmist says. Oh, my soul, why art thou disquieted? Hope thou in God. God is Jehovah. Yahweh is an oath. God will not lie. And then we have a godly man here. This man who we've read about here, who summons all the men and calls for this covenant to be made to protect the king. We read, and the seventh year, think about it, seven being that perfect number, just at that right time, the little boy is brought out. In the seventh year, Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds with the captains and the guard. My, his life, he must have been feeling, was at great stake. But again, friends, what is it that moves these people? He was a wicked king, ready to slay anybody that challenged her. You know, it's not just the scriptures that speak, but Paul says that Christians are living epistles, known and read of all men. And the best sermon we can give is our lives, isn't it? I mean, look at this man. Look at the boldness. But really, this is because of the love and his hope in the God's promise, what God would do, that he would set one over David's throne that would be king and would rule and reign forever and ever. The hope is there in God's word, and God is true to his word. And those that trust in him will never be confounded, says Peter. Isn't it wonderful to see Christians walking by faith? And my, those of you who are Christians, walk by faith. People will watch you before they listen to you. And who can blame them? Because there's so many hypocrites. And we who are believers want you unbelievers to hear that, because we know that's true. But God really does have his people in this world. And they're a godly people. And they seek to honor him in this life. And they trust him at all times. Well, in the midst of all of this, there's not only this woman, but here is this man. And in the seventh year, he calls all of these leaders out. Can you imagine the tremendous build-up to this the night before? It must have been tremendous what was going on in this man's heart. How is it all going to work out? But you know, they'd seen the wickedness of this woman, surely, hadn't they? And you see, this is our hope. One of the allies that we as a church and as preachers have in this world is every man's conscience. We appeal to people's consciences. See the world, friend, for what it is. What is the world? Killing babies? Is it good? No, it's evil. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach unto any people. You can imagine the word that was going out amongst the heathen. Look at these people, look what they do to each other. But this isn't the real church. The real church comes together here. The real believers, those that feared God, they made a covenant because they know God Himself is a covenant-keeping God, that He would send His Son eventually into this sinful, this wicked world. And they were not serving themselves. They were not hirelings. And my unsaved friend, we want you to know that a Christian, as I said this morning, Christianity is not a hobby. It's our life. We believe the truth and it has fundamentally changed us. The way we think, we don't live for ourselves anymore, but we live unto Him that left heaven's courts and came into this world and lived for us and then died for us. What king would give his life for his people? But you know, the strange thing is, this little boy, he began to reign, and he was wicked. He was wicked. Hear me? He walked in the sins of his fathers. But one would have thought he would have been thankful. Now, what does that show you? It shows you the wickedness of men's hearts. Look at 2 Kings 13:1. In the 23rd year of Joash, the son of Ahaziah, king of Judah, Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu, began to reign over Israel and Samaria and reigned 17 years, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord and followed the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin. He departed not therefrom. Now, what does that tell you, friends? Does it tell you that the human heart is thankful? No. Ingratitude. You can imagine the people around. But here, friends, here's where the rubber hits the road. Thank God. Our hope is not in this king, but the one to come, Jesus Christ. Our hope's in Him. He who came and lived amongst sinners. He who this world does not deserve. And He who bore the sins of His people in His own body. He who suffered the just for the unjust, that He might bring us unto God. He was despised of men, rejected, acquainted with grief. But this boy, so unthankful, so unholy in his life. No gratitude. Was it nothing that all these men put themselves through making this covenant, his oath? Think of his wicked grandmother. But he just followed on in her way. And let me say this, friend. You left in your sin and in your darkness, you will go on in the way of your ancestors. There's no hope in man. Those of you looking, I see looking for this passage, 2 Kings 13:1. This young man was wicked. If you just turn with me, we consider now the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus, the one who was to come into this world. Matthew 2, verse 12. And he knew this would all happen. And Christ, in the same way, was spared, wasn't he? Christ was spared. Remember, his parents fled to Egypt. Matthew 2, 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. This is the Magi. And when they had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and there was until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all of the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was that fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not." Now, eventually this king would not be spared, Jesus Christ. The devil had always sought to kill him, either through Herod, through the Jews, or other means. And evil has always been in this world. Throughout even the Old Testament, Satan has inspired many to kill the Christ and all his line, all of his seed. And so what we see here is, as we look at the life of the Lord Jesus, and as you consider his life, and he knew what his end would be, he never resisted it, did he, having left heaven to come to save an innumerable company of people? He knew he had to go to Calvary. And remember how Pilate said to him, "Art thou a king?" What did he say? "Thou sayest, I am a king." John 18, verse 37, "I am a king." But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he willingly laid down his life, and he said, "And to this end was I born, for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice." And then Pilate says, "Behold the man. Behold the man. Look at him." Pilate even went through a ritual, washing his hands, because as they brought false testimony against the Lord Jesus, he said, "I find no fault in him." That every charge that was trumped up against the Lord Jesus Christ proved to be a false accusation. It had to be borne by two or three witnesses. And the charges were always inconsistent. And he did no wrong. The scriptures say he was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. He who did no wrong. You contrast him and you compare him with this young king that is spared and that goes on to wickedness. That is the sinner by nature. Isn't it? You think of this little boy that's spared, and the seventh year he's brought out, and he just, "I'm thankful, I'm holy." My friends, that's you and I by nature. How have we lived? Unthankful, unholy lives. But the King of Heaven left his glory, came and was accused of all kinds of things in this world, and yet was put to death for those things that he was never guilty for. Behold the man, yes, but behold this little man here in 2 Kings 11. What is he? I see myself in him. Do you not see yourself in him? I'm thankful, I'm holy, lost apart from God. Well, you say, "Well, I'm not so bad." Well, my friend, you don't know your own heart. You don't know your own heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? What made this little boy to turn out to be such a wicked king? He had good examples. He had the men around him, the priests, the godly people, but maybe there was pressure from some of the family. You see, you can't live in your own strength in this world. Has to be a change of heart, a change of mind, and it is God that does it. The scriptures say, and God doeth it that men should fear before him. And Solomon says, and I know that whatsoever God doeth, he doeth it forever. You can have a good witness. You can have a good upbringing. You can have a good education. But that's not going to change the heart, is it? You can come from a very poor background. You can do all kinds of wicked and lewd things in this world. But only God can change the heart. And that's what Jesus Christ does. He not only dies for his people, but he sets them free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Who was crying out for the murder of Jesus Christ? Religious people. Crucify him. Crucify him. You see, Christ made people feel very uncomfortable in their sin. I could not imagine what it must have been like to be 1 minute in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, to feel your sinfulness, and to be consciously aware of his sublime holiness, his all-searching eyes, and he who searches the hearts of men. Friends, have you any conception of who you are and who I am before God? We're all condemned under sin. Sin has spread to all men. But Jesus Christ has come into this world, my dear friends, to die, he being the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. That's why he came into this world. Pilate said, behold the man, I find no fault in him. The Jews cried, crucify him. They did. But the grave could not hold him. Why? Because he had no sin. All these men in the past, their bodies lie in the grave. Those who believed upon the Lord and feared him are now in heaven and will hear the voice of the Son of God one day. He said, marvel not, the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall come out of the grave, some to the resurrection of life, some to the resurrection of damnation. You're damned in your sins, and you will die in your sins if you do not repent and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God's salvation. The Lord has promised and sworn on oath. You think of the name of this woman that kept this little boy. Her name is God is oath. God is truth. And Paul tells us, does he not, in the epistle to the Hebrews, God has sworn by covenant and oath to give his dear son for an unworthy people, the heathen, the Gentiles, to save them. And he has. And he that hath the Son, the scriptures say, hath life. Not will have life, but has life. Life now and eternal life to come. We have passed from death to life. If we love his people, And if we love his ways, and you see these group of men who covenant together and who do not fear, because God would send the perfect man, the God-man, into this world, Jesus Christ, to give himself as a ransom, as a substitute for all who would ever believe upon him. He gives eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. But you see the wickedness of men along the way, seeking to thwart the purposes and plan of Almighty God. But I say, friend, nothing, nothing will stop God in all that he has promised to do in Jesus Christ. Not even your sin, if you are Christ's. Paul tells us in Romans 8, now there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8 begins with no condemnation. Why? Because Christ has died. And it ends with no separation. Paul says, what shall separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ? Nothing. What unspeakable love, but what unspeakable wickedness in this world. Not just this woman. There was Herod. There have been others trying to silence the word of God and God's plan, but nothing. God's love, we read in Song of Solomon chapter 8, is stronger than death. Stronger than death. That's amazing, isn't it? Nothing can contemn God's love. Greater love hath no man than this, that he should lay down his life for his brethren. You know the name here, Athaliah? It's quite interesting. Her name means the Lord is exalted. And the Lord will be exalted. You know, the scriptures say, the wrath of man shall praise God. The wrath of man will praise God. And the remainder of wrath, says the scriptures, shall he restrain. The wrath of man shall praise God. How was the Lord Jesus Christ put to death? By the hands of wicked men. He was put to death. The wrath of man shall praise God. But it was all done by the predetermined purpose and counsel and foreknowledge of God. That there for those 3 lone hours, our Lord Jesus Christ, unbeknown to Satan, unbeknown to men, in those dark hours which we cannot fathom, we cannot enter into the realms of the unseen world, when he was suffering and he was bearing the wrath of an almighty God, that he was placating God's wrath and removing it, so that now we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And let me say this. There's a lot more I can say about this passage. It had to be this king, even this wicked king, that would be spared. Because then there would come from his line godly seed, faithful seed. And let me say this. There have been men even like Manasseh who have turned from, as it were, devils to bow and worship the living God. No matter how deep and dire somebody is in their sin, there is nothing too hard for the Lord. So you pray for the lost. You pray for lost souls, and we pray for you. that God will break your heart in your sin and bring you savingly to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing too hard for God. There are many blessed things to look at, but that's all we have time for tonight. My sinner friend, if you're unsaved, the Word of God is speaking tonight and saying, God is saying, I will be exalted. The Lord is truth. These names and God's actions crying out unto you, hear the Word of God. Turn from your sins and seek the Lord now while He may be found. Amen. Friends, as we close, the wicked queen, Athaliah, as you read on the rest of the passage, died a most horrific death. The terrible end, just like those of her family, Jezebel. And so it is for the lost, the impenitent. And I therefore counsel you to seek the Lord this night. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, not only the first death, but there is a second death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And sinners are exhorted to repent. And there is good news for all who repent and believe upon Christ. For those who repent will truly find that they have a Savior. Those who do not repent are still in their sins, and they have no Savior, and they have no hope but an everlasting wrath that is to fall upon them. But thank God, He saves sinners. He saves all that come unto Him by Jesus Christ. The Lord says, friends, He says, all that the Father gives me shall come to me. And he that cometh unto me, I shall in no wise cast out. Don't be concerned whether you're elect or not, but be concerned over your sin. And let me say this, the elect are, and they truly will repent, and they will believe upon Christ. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for these lessons in Thy Word, that Thou art a just and a holy God, but Thou art also a merciful God, in so that Thou sent Thine only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of kings, and the One who is the great High Priest. O Lord, as we think here of Jehoiada, as he assassinates the Queen, and destruction comes upon her, and so shall it be for all who are impenitent and will not bow to the King, the One who is King and High Priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We thank Thee for those who have been set free by His Word and have been brought humbly to repent and to believe upon His name and His finished works. Do bless us the remainder of the day. Grant us journeying mercies and fill our hearts with joy and peace in believing in Thy dear Son. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with God's people now and forevermore. Amen.